by way of review, just let you know, Jonah's a prophet of God, and God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, one of the major cities of the Empire of Assyria, and to warn them, they're so wicked, God's going to bring the hammer down on them. And we learned from that initial assignment that God gave to Jonah. We just talked more about last week about God and his character and what he's like in that sense. And I wrapped it up by encouraging you and me to be spiritual risk takers, to pray for courage, to fulfill God's mission as he's called each of us to the mission he's called us to. Well, today what we're going to do is focus on one verse. Now, normally I don't do this. Trust me, the rest of the sermon series won't be on one verse. We'll go through it in the next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. But today I want to focus on that one verse in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, where Jonah responds to God's assignment. God tells him to go to Nineveh, and Jonah responds. God tells you to do something, and you respond, however you respond. You do something in Scripture. The Holy Spirit prompts something and points out something to you, and you make a decision of some kind of how to respond to that. Well, Jonah responded. Now, before I tell you how he responded, which most of you already know, I remember when I was either 7 or 8 years old, I was angry at my parents. They were unfair, and they were wrong, and whatever else I thought as a 7 or 8 year old. And I shared that with my friend Johnny, who lived across the street. We were buddies, and we would play on weekends together and stuff. And Johnny said the same thing about his parents, that they also were unfair and wrong and everything. So we decided that it was time to run away, you know. And, of course, we spent a little time talking about what we'd take with us and which toys we'd take with us. I don't think we thought about food or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, but we decided that we should just get out of here. So we made a plan to meet the next day and to run away together. Well, I chickened out. I never showed up. So I found my friend Johnny, I think, a day or 2 or 3 later, and he told me that, you know, I was a chicken. And he also told me that he decided to run away, too. He would go through with the plan. And so he got about a half a block down the street. Of course, his mom thought he was playing in the backyard. He got about a half a block down the street and decided that this wasn't a good idea, and he came back home and never told his mom, of course. So how many of you have either thought about or actually implemented running away when you were a kid? I want to find out. All right. So we all know what it's like to want to run away, and we all know what it's like, at least at some level, to actually try to implement that running away experience. So, I looked up a stat about runaways in our country, and it was from a website called National Runaway Safe Line. Here's what they said. Between 1.6 and 2.8 million teenagers run away every year. 1.6 to 2.8. And then it goes on to talk about some of the reasons, some of the things that are going on that get them to that level where they, as a teenager, decide, I'm out of here. It's not worth it. Well, you probably know how Jonah responded. And if you don't know, let me read to you how he responded. God said, go to Nineveh, warn them, etc. And it says in verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, Jonah, who is Jonah? I want you to stop and think about this. Jonah's a man of God. He's a prophet of God. He has a direct personal relationship with God. In fact, they have a direct communication line. And God has talked to Jonah directly multiple times and shared with him things to share with others. And so this is an astounding statement that Jonah ran away from the Lord. This is a man of God who was committed to God, who knew God, and yet Jonah ran away from the Lord. Now, let's get a picture geographically. Nineveh is about 500 miles northeast of where Jonah lived. let's say Nineveh, for us, it would be like Sacramento. Tarshish is a town in Spain across the Mediterranean coast, the Mediterranean Sea. For us, it would be like Hawaii. So we're sitting here in Torrance. God says, I want you to go to Sacramento. And we say, we go down to the port of Los Angeles, hop a ship, and go to Hawaii. That's exactly what Jonah did. And so he put on his cross-country running shoes and ran as far and as fast as he could away from God. Now, in your outline there, I want us to stop and think for a minute about what Jonah knew about Jehovah God, who told him to go to Nineveh. And I'm doing this for a very particular purpose, and I want you to see this. What did Jonah understand about Jehovah God who told him to go to Nineveh? Here they are. First, and some of these we covered last week. I think most of them we briefly hit. First of all, Jonah knew that God is personally involved in people's lives, right? He knew that. Jonah knew that God cares what happens to people. In fact, in chapter 4, Jonah said, I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God. Jonah knew that God judges wickedness and sin. That's Jehovah God that he worships. He knew that about him. And so God said to Jonah, go warn them that the judgment's coming. Jonah knew that God uses people, i.e. Jonah, i.e. others. He uses people to communicate his truth. Jonah knew that God is above all other gods. This was probably the most profound to me in terms of what Jonah believed in relation to what Jonah did. Do you realize that sometimes what we believe and how we live don't line up? For a lot of reasons, sometimes they don't line up. And they didn't line up for Jonah in this situation in his life. Because here's what he believed about God at a minimum, Jehovah God of the universe. First of all, that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Jonah knew that. He's all-knowing. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, for I alone am God, I am God, and there's none like me, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Psalms 147, his understanding has no limit, referring to God. Hebrews 4, 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from his sight. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Another thing that Jonah knew about Jehovah God is that he's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's all-powerful. Psalm 135, I know the greatness of the Lord, that our Lord is greater than any other God. The Lord does whatever pleases him throughout all heaven and earth and on the seas and in their depths. Job 42, I know that you can do anything and that no one can stop you. Jeremiah 32, O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. Jonah knew that God is all-powerful. And Jonah knew that God is omnipresent. That means everywhere present. Isn't this almost comical that Jonah knew that God is everywhere present, but he's going to run away from him? Like, where are you going to go? That God is not there. Look what it says in Psalm 139. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. Jeremiah 23. Am I a God who is only in one place, asked the Lord? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, asked the Lord? And yet, Jonah still tried to run away from God. That's an amazing thing about Jonah and about us as human beings. Next, another thing I want you to see what Jonah knew about God is that God created nature and controls it. He knew that. Also, Jonah knew that God is the God who saves. He says that in chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, that God is the one that brings salvation. So, what's my point? Here's a man who knows God. Here's a man who has communication with God. Here's a man who has a strong belief in God, a strong commitment to God. Here's a man who has served God with his life. And here's a man confronted with something God wants him to do, and he decides to run away. What happened with Jonah? What happens with us? That's what I want to look at. I'm calling these lessons about going AWOL from God. AWOL is absent without leave, right? Lessons about going And I want us to learn from that, not in a negative way that, oh, we're terrible people, but in a reality way that even as Christians and even as people who know God and are committed to God, we can go AWOL, sometimes not even realize we've gone AWOL. And it's just a way for us to remind ourselves and to check ourselves and to ask ourselves, am I running away from God in some way? Right? Maybe you don't even know it. So, lessons about going AWOL. Going AWOL, here's the first one. Going AWOL begins with a refusal to confront personal weaknesses and sins. It starts there, where you just don't deal with the stuff in your life that you need to deal with when it comes to God. You just ignore it, table it, refuse. I use the word refusal here, whatever it might be. Now, with Jonah, there's an insight I want you to see about Jonah's experience when God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. When God shares his desire, his instructions, his mission, his purpose for you, his directive for you, sometimes, maybe often, I don't know, sometimes it brings up to the surface our sins or our weaknesses. That's what happened when God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. It not only revealed the heart of God, it revealed the heart of Jonah in some ways. Let me show you that to you. God's heart, God says to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I already mentioned this, but Jonah understood something about God's heart. He understood it's full of compassion and mercy and grace. He knew that about Jehovah God. And that command from God to Jonah reveals that about God. And in fact, when Jonah was bothered by the assignment and upset about God wanting him to do that and the possibility that God wouldn't bring the hammer down because they deserved it, which, by the way, they really did deserve it, the Assyrians. It says in chapter 4, verse 11, listen to what this says. God says to Jonah, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Should I not be concerned about that great city? So God is revealing his heart by his assignment. He does that with us. He reveals his heart to you and me when he asks us to do something or tells us to do something. It's part of his character, and it shows something about him to us. And we need to be aware of that. But what happens here is it also reveals Jonah's heart. The command, the instruction, the mission, the purpose of God to Jonah, I want you to go do this, reveals Jonah's heart. And that's a real struggle for Jonah. Jonah's heart is on display in chapter 4 where he says, okay, you ready for this? Chapter 4, verse 3, we'll turn to it, but we'll get to it, and I'll talk about this more. But God says, go to Nineveh. He does. They repent. The hammer doesn't fall. And how does Jonah respond when the hammer doesn't fall? Oh, Lord, take my life from me, for it's better to me to die than to live. Now, that reveals the heart of Jonah at that moment in his life. Here's what I want you to see in the outline. Jonah's heart hid these sins. Hatred, independence from God, and pride. Now, who is Jonah? He's not some pagan guy that worships idols. He's not some guy that rejects God Almighty and doesn't want anything to do with him. He is, in our terminology, a believer. He is, in our sense, a Christian, a follower of God. And yet when God gives him an assignment, it reveals something in Jonah's heart that maybe he didn't see before, or maybe he saw and decided not to deal with. But it reveals that Jonah still harbors some hatred. He harbors pride. He harbors some aspects of my way, God, not your way, that is still in his heart, even though he is committed to God. It reveals his sin. John chapter 3 talks about the human heart apart from God's presence and transformation. John chapter 3, verse 20. They hate the evil heavenly light because they want to sin in the darkness. They stayed away from that heavenly light for fear their sins would be exposed and they would be punished. So what about your heart? Now you're sitting here this morning in church service. Probably most of you, if not all of you, have been saved. You're a child of God. You believe in him. You're here to worship some levels. So the question is, what about our hearts? And I thought of some phrases that I'll use before God Almighty sometime as his follower. I hear you, Lord, but. Ever done that? I know, Lord, but. I want to, Lord, but. And the list goes on and on. That's just a part of our struggle. And it was a part of Jonah's reality and struggle. London Times invited readers to write on this topic. Ready? What is wrong with the world? What is wrong with the world? And there was one answer that the London Times staff and everybody was just completely thrown off by. Because they got all kinds of, you know, essays and all kinds of things about what's wrong with the world. One person wrote this. What is wrong with the world? Dear sirs, I am yours truly. You hear that? What is wrong with the world? Me. That's what's wrong with the world. Me. And we all struggle with that reality, don't we? The Bible talks about that sin nature in us. So here's the principle I want to see. When God reveals our sins to us, our weaknesses to us, whether we're been a believer for a month or whether we've been a believer for 50 years, if we don't respond and humble ourselves and acknowledge it and confess it, it opens the door for us to go AWOL. It just prompts us down the direction that is away from walking with God and away from loving him to whatever else we get caught up in and get preoccupied with. And that's part of what happened with Jonah. God revealed some stuff. Obviously, it came to the forefront, and Jonah didn't deal with it. The other principle here I want you to see on this first one about kind of opening the door to go AWOL, beginning the process, is this. Knowing God's word in and of itself does not change you. Now, we're going to have a long discussion about this, but I just want to keep it real simple. Jonah knew God and knew his truth, and he still had sin in his heart. And that's all I'm pointing out. But it isn't knowledge by itself that changes you. John chapter 5, Jesus is talking to religious leaders. And in our terminology, he's talking to seminary professors and pastors. Okay, if you've been educated and know the Bible more than the average person and that kind of thing. And he's talking to them, and this is what he tells them in John chapter 5. You search the scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life. But the scripture points to me, yet you refuse to come to me so that I can give you this eternal life. Now, that's this principle that the truth of God, the word of God by itself cannot change you, is the reason why you and I can attend church every week, read the Bible every day, be in a small group or a Sunday school class, and have little transformation. Because it's just knowledge that we're seeking and cramming in our brains and getting more and more of. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to change our character and our life through the truth. Now, knowing the Word of God is very, very important. It's His written Word. He gave it to us. He says, I want you to know it. I want you to read it. I want you to understand it. But by itself, it doesn't transform a person. Without the presence of God and the Holy Spirit ministering to us, convicting us, directing us, encouraging us, transforming us. And so that's a principle I want you to see there. Okay, so we've opened the door to go AWOL, so to speak. Now here's where we really ratchet up the going AWOL. Going AWOL is completed or fulfilled, or you're really going down the path when making a conscious choice to disobey or disregard clear instructions from God. To disobey or disregard clear instructions from God. I'm not talking about the stuff where you're unsure and you're wanting to follow God's lead, but you're struggling with the gray areas. I'm talking about stuff that you know for you. You know God has told you, this is what I want you to do, or this is how I want you to respond, or this is what, you know, whatever it might be. And you just don't do it. You just ignore it in whatever ways you do, or disregard it. When that happens, you put on the running shoes, and now you're running. You're on the ship, and you're going to Hawaii. You're not just going down to the port. You're on the ship, you paid the fare, and you're off your way to Hawaii. Now, Jonah ran away from God, and I want to give you some insights just about him as a human being in terms of ways, areas in his life where that impacted his life, and have you think about it for yourself. J- Jonah ran away from God spiritually. Pretty obvious, isn't it? That'd be the first one, where God communicated directly to him. And he flat out said no. He just said no. Ever had one of your kids say no? You know? And Jonah did that at that point. There's a lot of other times when he didn't. He said yes. But at this point in his life, he said no. James chapter 1 says this, temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. In other words, inside ourselves, these evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. So it's inside us that's going on, this spiritual rebellion, if you will, is what I call it, that I've experienced in my life from time to time. And as the older I get, the more bold I am, this is probably a good thing, the more bold I am in telling God what is actually going on. And in the last year or two, there have been some things in my life where I've looked at God and said, truth is, I'm rebelling against you. Because I know this is wrong. Truth is, I'm saying no to you. That's really what's going on. And that can happen for us. It happened to Jonah. Next one, Jonah ran away mentally. When you ignore the truth of God, the reality that God paints, the truth of life and principles of life, it distorts your view of reality. Do we see that in our culture? It distorts your view of reality. Jonah thought, at least for a moment, as irrational as it is, that he could hide from Almighty God. It distorts your reality. In Romans chapter 12, it says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think about things. We as followers of Christ are to see life differently, are to view life differently than those who don't follow Christ. We have a different moral base, a value base, a purpose, a call, a mission, we have a whole different view on what life is than those who are not following God, not following Christ. And it says, change the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. So Jonah ran away mentally. Jonah ran away physically. That's obvious, isn't it? He literally physically ran away. But here's what I want you to see about that. That circumstances helped him. Let me point out what I mean. Jonah had the means to go to Joppa. I don't know whether he had a donkey or a Model T Ford or a walk, but he physically could do what he put in motion. He could go do that. He could walk down to the port. We could drive down to the port, if you will. When he got there, guess what? There was a ship there. That must be from God. Look how convenient that is, a ship going to Hawaii. That's exactly where I want to go. And so Jonah had a ship there for him. And guess what Jonah had? He had money to disobey God. He had money to fulfill his plan to run away from God. My point here is that circumstances often will enable us to disobey God, will enable us to run away from God. One of the reasons for that is a guy called Satan. Satan will do everything he possibly can to encourage you to put on your running shoes and go the opposite direction. He will do everything he can to get you sidetracked from listening to God and following Him. And He'll provide all kinds of things for that to happen. And it did with Jonah as well. He goes down to the ship, pays his fare, walks the gangplank, so to speak, gets on the boat, and God never stops him. He never stops him at that point. So when we have these no God impulses, when we have these go AWOL from God at some point for something in our life, and we have these personal passions and these lifestyle choices we make that are not what God wants for us, often we succeed. Jonah succeeded. And often we can succeed at going down those roads. And God in His wisdom and grace allows that often to happen. And the devil's involved in that. The devil, as the Bible says, comes as an angel of light. So he uses whatever he can to sidetrack us. I have seen it in my life. You've seen it in your life. You're committed to God. You're committed to His ways. We really want to be a follower of His. And yet we get what I call sidetracked from God. It may not be AWOL-like rebellion, but we get sidetracked from God's priorities in our life and God's mission in our life. And so easy to happen. And that happened to Jonah. Jonah ran away emotionally. I want you to, I didn't read this, but in verse 5 it says this. Okay, Jonah's run away from God. He's gone down to the San Pedro port, got on a ship, he's on his way to Hawaii. Everything's smooth, everything's great. Now, he knew what God asked him to do, and he knows he's rebelling. But you know what verse 5 says in the chapter? Jonah went down to the bottom of the ship, and he fell asleep. Did you know that you can be disobedient to God, you can emotionally run away from God, and be at peace? It's possible. That's the trick of the devil, the trick of the flesh, but it's possible. And God allows that for a while. He allows you to go down those roads and be comfortable and be okay and be successful and whatever it might be and still be walking away from what God has called you to. And that's what happened to Jonah. Psalm 32:3 tells us that it doesn't last forever. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable and I groaned all day long. One commentary said, the most miserable people in the world are children of God who are rebelling against God. You may not be miserable immediately. Jonah fell asleep in the ship, but eventually it's going to come back to bite us. One of the most dangerous pieces of going AWOL, you know the term I'm using right now, is the Bible talks about a seared conscience. In other words, it becomes hard. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. There is a danger, and this would be a warning from our Lord, that if you continue to go AWOL, at some point what can happen is your conscience can become so numb and so seared, so closed off and shut down, that you will not hear me, you will not sense me, you will not pay attention to me, and you will live your life. And that can happen, and that's a dangerous kind of place to get and be. And we need to be aware of the danger of that. So here's my question for you. Are you running away from God? Are you a Jonah in some way? Is there a piece of your life where God has showed you something, God has revealed or reminded you of something, and you know it, you can even think of it right now while I'm talking, and yet you've kind of just ignored it, and you disregarded it, and you said, you know what, I'll get to that later, I'll get to that sometime. It's a very dangerous path to go down, because it pulls you away from God more and more and more. You were sitting in church this morning, and you said, well, obviously I'm not disregarding God, I'm here, but you can be here and still in some ways in your life be that way. Be like Jonah and disregard what God has for you. The captain of a ship looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately he told his single men to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. Captain was angry. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Another message came back, received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately, the captain sent the third message, knowing that fear it would invoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. So, in the midst of living life for God, sometimes we can be like Jonah, right? I don't think Jonah wanted to do that in the sense of his lifelong plan was to eventually tell God, forget it. And we can slip down that road, and we can go AWOL, and we can ignore and disregard, and our conscience will become a little numb, and we can just kind of set things aside and ignore things about God and about His principles for our life. God is a lighthouse who is constantly showing us the way. He's a lighthouse full of compassion, as Jonah. full of grace, full of love, full of patience, constantly saying, hey, you may think going this way, but I'm the lighthouse showing you the way to live. Pay attention to me. Don't ignore me. I am here for you. I want the best for you. And for us to go AWOL in however ways we might, it can be so destructive to us and to those around us. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. If there was a prayer I asked you to pray this week, it would be this simple prayer. Lord, I don't want to be Jonah. So if I am, would you show me how? Because I don't want to be a Jonah. I don't want to ignore you. I don't want to disregard you. I don't want to just live my life and forget about you. I want to be right in the center of what you, where you want me to be and how you want me to be. So if there's an area of my life where I have said to you, forget it, Lord, show me that area so that I can repent and confess and that we can deal with this. Show me where I have been disregarding you and ignoring you, because I don't want to be a Jonah. I want to be a person who is following you with all my heart. Amen? Let's have a prayer together. Father, thank you for this truth, this insight about Jonah, a man that you used, a man that you loved, a man that committed himself to you, and yet, as a man, as a person, he had these moments where he rebelled, and we can have those too. We are so humbly grateful, as Jonah said, you're such a compassionate, loving God towards us. You're so patient. You're so quick to forgive. But you are that lighthouse showing us the way, the values, the priorities, the relationships, all of them. So I pray for every one of us in this room, if there is an area in our spiritual journey that we're a Jonah, that we're rebelling, that we're disregarding, that we're ignoring, please show that to us. Help us to deal with it. Help us to bring it to the front. Help us to process it with you. Help us to give it to you and lay it at your feet that you might help.